agenda for our brief shiur today and for tomorrow is, again, to finish everything on the Chav Beis terrain, which will end up with Hadlakos and Mitzvah, which God willing will do tomorrow. So today, just a couple of more of the issues on Chav Beis and Mid Aleph. And we'll just, in the interest of overall time, maybe just call your attention to some themes and not necessarily worry about covering every detail of it, but just to be aware of the major issues that are here. So, first of all, one question that, just to add one point to yesterday, they didn't mention, just it's an interesting nekuda. So we talked about, in terms of lighting a higher than 20 amos, and about why it would be that even if you believe that hanacha is a mitzvah, even if you believe that the mitzvah is defined by where you place the menorah and when you place the menorah, you still may have to relight a menorah that was too high. And if you recall that there were two different statements in Tosfos, that Tosfos maintains that if you light the menorah too high, you have to extinguish it and relight it lower. That clearly would be true if you say hadlaka osa mitzvah. If the whole mitzvah is in the hadlaka, so clearly you have to relight it in the place that's fitting. But if you say hanacha osa mitzvah, so the halacha should have been that you could just move it from where it is to the right place. Yet, Tosus assumes that even then you'd have to relight it, even according to hanacha osa mitzvah, because of the concern that maybe somebody who's looking at you might think you're using it for your own purpose. So we talked about a little bit, we mentioned the essay from Rav Sachs and a Sefer Yemei Chanukah, the question of whether a Chanukah candle that is too high up has a status of a Chanukah candle in the wrong place, or is it mamash aner pasul, like the Gemara sounds like, it's no good. With the ramifications possibly being that even somebody who holds hanacha osa mitzvah would still hold that you're not obligated to have a maisa hadlaka. We don't care so much that you're doing the hadlaka now, but it has to be a ner chanukah. And you theoretically could have a candle that's a ner pasul that doesn't have the status of a ner chanukah, and that would require you to light it, not because hadlaka osa mitzvah, but because it has to have a status of a ner chanukah. And the proof for that was the Gemara Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, that the Gemara talks about having a lamp that was used for Shabbos. You had the lamp going all of Shabbos, and now it's Motzoi Shabbos, and the lamp is still going. So the Gemara says you can't just leave it as it is to use it for Ner Chanukah. You have to extinguish it and relight it. So the Gemara says, all right, if it's Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, we understand you have to extinguish it and relight it. But if you say Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, so then what? So you'd expect the Gemara to say, you don't have to extinguish it in the first place, just move it. But that's not what the Gemara says. What the Gemara says is longer. You have to extinguish it and relight it and move it. So it comes l'chumra that you still have to extinguish it, you just have to extinguish it and move it. So the question is, why do you have to extinguish it? If hadlaka is not the mitzvah, why do we need you to relight it? So that's where we mentioned Tosfos, that Tosfos says that this is worse than a candle that was lit by a cheresh show to the cotton. It's worse than a situation where you have a candle that was lit by somebody who's not obligated in the mitzvah. Because then, even though it wasn't really a hadlakas mitzvah, but it's clear that it was meant to be a ner chanukah. But in this situation, it was lit for Shabbos purposes. So it's not recognizable as a ner chanukah at all, and therefore it has to at least have that. Even if we say hanacha osa mitzvah, it has to at least be done l'shem ner chanukah. So that we all said yesterday. Everybody's basically clear on that. So just what's also worth noting is that there does seem to be a difference between Rashi and Tosfos in this life. It's an interesting difference that I think Rav Shechter made this observation, that the Tosfos says that it's not nicker that it's for Chanukah. It was lit for Shabbos. So maybe the scenario is that it was the first day of Chanukah is a Sunday. So when you lit this candle the previous night, it wasn't a Chanukah candle at all. And it was only a Shabbos candle. And now you have a problem that it's not a Chanukah candle. But what if it had been Chanukah the night before? What if Friday night was also Chanukah? So you lit a candle for Chanukah the previous night. Would you still have the same problem? So it sounds like from Tosfos that not, right? Because since Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, according to that opinion, you don't need to have a Hadlaka. And there was a Ner Chanukah from before. So you have a Ner Chanukah, and you just have to put it in the right place. However, one could be medayik and Rashi differently. This is an interesting question, because Rashi's language is, when he says that you have to relight it, so Rashi says, first of all, Dolekes, he says, Shedlika l'mitzvah Chanukah b'erev Shabbos. That was Rashi dir maschil Dolekes. So in Rashi's scenario, it was Chanukah the night before. And then you could say, okay, so if he lit it for Chanukah, so why is it no good now? It wasn't near Chanukah for the Hanachos and mitzvah people. So the next Rashi says, Yumadlekes l'mitzvahs halayla, which makes it sound like it's not enough only that the Chanukah candles have to be l'shem Chanukah to be a kosher candle, but it has to be l'shem that night. Which is an interesting possibility and opens up questions again about whether each night has its own independent status as a yontif. We talked about it a little bit in the context of Hallel and every day being distinct from every other day. So this nuance in Rashi and Tosfos is an interesting nuance which we didn't look at yesterday. Tosfos again basically making this point that it has to be Hadlaka L'Shem Chanukah, but Rashi taking another step, that even if it was L'Shem Chanukah, but the wrong night of Chanukah, that's not going to help us. It has to be a Hadlaka for tonight's Chanukah candle. Or it has to have a status of a Chanukah candle for tonight's purpose. That's an interesting nuance that's worth being aware of. Okay, so two other topics I want to try to take a look at on this Amud before the big sugya of Hadlaka and Hanacha for tomorrow is, one is the issue of Bizui Mitzvah. That the Gemara, we mentioned it earlier in the context of the Isser L'Hishtamesh La'ora, so here the Gemara is where it really comes from. We looked at this Gemara in that context as well. So the Gemara raises the issue that we have a concern of Bizui Mitzvah when it comes to Ner Chanukah. The Gemara talks about a general issue of Bizui Mitzvah, which the Gemara derives from a pasuk. Seems to derive from a pasuk. Now when you do Kisui Hadam, and you cover the blood of a shechted animal, so then you should not use your foot to do it. Even though as far as the mitzvah is concerned, it accomplishes the goals of the mitzvah. If you use your foot to cover up the blood, so you will have done the mitzvah in terms of its details, but there'll be a side consideration, there'll be a problem that's considered to be a disrespectful method to do the mitzvah. So the question was raised, there is a little bit of a discussion in the Achronim and in the Rishonim, whether this concern of Bizui Mitzvah is an Isser Daraisa, as it's connected to a pasuk here, or is this an Asmachta, and therefore it's really an Isser Darabanan. So you have to consider what that means. What does our Gemara derive from Bizui Mitzvah? How does our Gemara want to use Bizui Mitzvah in the purposes of Chanukah? So apparently using the candles for anything would be a concern of Bizui Mitzvah. Although, as we saw, we did the Isser L'Shtameish La'ora Sugya, that it comes out as a little bit of a machlokas, practically speaking. Right, according to the Baal HaMor, there's no Isser Shtamshus at all, L'Halacha, and Bizui Mitzvah is the whole source of the Isser. And then the question is, maybe we should allow Tashmish Shel Mitzvah. The others who would say, no, the Ran says that you can't use it for Tashmish Shel Mitzvah either, but when it comes to what the Gemara is going to talk about afterwards, lighting one Chanukah candle from another Chanukah candle, that might be permitted because it's the same mitzvah, which is also something we have to consider. But from one mitzvah to the next, or a mitzvah, a general Kedusha purpose might still be prohibited. So all that goes to how you define the whole Bizui Mitzvah consideration. But that's how the Gemara starts talking about it. And then the Gemara also considers that possibly lighting from one candle to the next might be a Bizui Mitzvah consideration. So the Gemara invokes in this context the Kisui Hadam as the source for Bizui Mitzvah, and it's a machlokas whether this is a Derais or Derabban. So I think we have to take that with a certain attitude. It's interesting, our often quoted friend Rav Nassim Gestetter has a discussion about this in his Kiddushim on the Daf. It's a Sefer Nassim Perio on Chanukah, as a Chidushim on the Daf, where he talks about this. So this may parallel another sugya that we have to talk about this year. What might you think is the inverse of Bizui Mitzvah? And there's also a machlokas, whether it's Doraisa or Drabanan. Any thoughts? What may seem to be somewhat of a inverse or correlated sugya to this? Hit a mitzvah, right? Hit a mitzvah also might be a similar type of situation. The Gemara connects that to a pasuk as well. Zeh keli v'yanvehu. And we discussed that sugya in some detail, that there also was a machlokus rishonim, whether hiddur mitzvah is really a din min haTorah, as the pasuk suggests, or should we say, no, it's really a din derabanan, and it's an asmachtav. So as the Nas Imperial points out, says it's hard to believe that hiddur mitzvah could be doraisa, and bizui mitzvah could be derabanan. Because presumably, if you have a din of hiddur mitzvah, kal v'chomer, you have to have a din of bizui mitzvah. Because his assumption is that bizui mitzvah is worse than lack of hiddur. That in general, we have such an attitude in halacha that if you assume it's all on one continuum, so bizui is before you even get to hiddur. So for example, you find in Poskim, the Rivasha says in the Tshuva, and the Netziv holds like this, halacha l'maisa, that we know that when it comes to kibud av v'aim, so we have a rule that we're obligated to respect our parents, but the parents have the right to be mochel. Right? The parents can decide that there's a certain issue that they would normally have the right to be makbid on, and they could choose not to be makbid on. But many assume that there's a whole other level called bizayon avein. That if you're going to do something, it's going to be mevazel the parents. So then, maybe the parents don't even have a right to be mochel on that. That's even worse. That's below their level to be mochel. So if you assume there's a continuum, you say that first step is, you know, as the doctors will say, first do no harm, right? First, don't be mevazel. And then, not only should you not be mevazel, but you should be mechade. So if we have a similar structure here as well, so it's hard to believe that hiddur is a mitzvah daraisa, but bizui would not be at least as chamer. Bizui should be a step before. You follow his logic? Now, I think there is room to question that, though. How might you say a little bit differently, Jonathan?
I'm saying that maybe in the case of the kibud av v'aim, so obviously the bizui would be step one. You could say that bizui av v'aim would be mishum kibud av v'aim. Whereas over here, clearly we have two separate makoros for hiddur and bizui mitzvah.
All right, that's interesting. From a technical point of view, that's definitely interesting to think about. I say there's no mucker that there's an isser bizayon avim. It's only implicit in the fact, separate from the isser mevaz anybody, but there's no specific isser of being mevaz your parents. So it's only implicit as kind of a deep kal v'chomer from kibud avim. So therefore, that's taken to the case. But if there's a source, so then that comes from, right, so, but then what does that mean? And maybe that provokes the question, so why do I need a source?
Maybe that challenges what Rav Nosson to understand here.
I agree, right? But it's more of a technical indication than really explaining it. I think you're right. The fact that you may have two separate sources, whether asmachtas or not, is interesting. But maybe there's something behind that. Shmuley?
Maybe it's because you're comparing a mitzvah, say, to a mitzvah losa, say, the mitzvah.
It would be, in theory, except that they're both acting on this mitzvah saseh. Right? There's a mitzvah, there's a, the bizayon would be against the mitzvah, positive mitzvah, and the hiddur would be to do the mitzvah.
Still be like a low sase,
but the act of bizui would be a low sase.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's still a bigger chiddush, you mean to say that, or that maybe it has more chumrah that comes from the source. That's possible. What's bothering me a little bit is that, first of all, let's look at it in a very fundamental way. To say, does it sound credible to you that bizui mitzvah is a derabanan? You would have thought you're allowed to be mevazim mitzvahs. Oh, so come the rabbis and they say, don't be mevazim mitzvahs. Does that sound at all funny to you?
Why would you think that?
Right. I mean, you probably think that that's, again, first do no harm, but that's probably the price of entry, that you want to observe the Torah. First step is you probably should not want to be mevazim mitzvahs. It's hard to believe that, first of all, you even need a mucker, as Jonathan was indicating. but that even with a marker, it's possibly an issur d'rabbanan. It's not wrong min ha-Torah. Michael, want to comment on that? So what I think is worth paying attention to is that just the notion that bizui mitzvah is d'rabbanan probably means as follows, that clearly to display a genuine sense of bizui towards a mitzvah is wrong on a level min ha-Torah. The question is, maybe the halacha is also telling us there are certain actions which you don't necessarily have in mind bizayim, but that the halacha views them as a bizur and prohibits them in that category as an issur d'rabbanan. So you would not necessarily have had any contemptuous intent by reading by the menorah or by lighting miner l'ner, or maybe by covering with your left foot. The Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Shuvah Sinera Day has a whole shuvah about the doing shchita with something that's powered by your foot, and he tries to figure out what about the concern of bizui mitzvah. The Gemara here talks about using your foot as a bizui mitzvah by kisui adam. How could that not be a problem by shchita? So I think, again, the whole point is that we're not talking necessarily about the objective bizuiness. If somebody is really going to mock a mitzvah, so then that would be wrong in a self-understood way. But the idea that there's certain concepts which the Torah or Chazal are telling us are included within Bizayin despite our lack of actual contempt. So that's a din d'rabbanan. And if that's the case, then maybe it doesn't necessarily go in a clear continuum, that Hidr Mitzvah has its own Hagdara, and the things that are included in Bizayin Mitzvah are not necessarily the inverse of Hidr. Now what's interesting also is that there is a Machlokas Achron in the Shvus Yaakov, in the first volume of his Chuvus, and the Chacham Tzvi, about what if you have a conflict between Bizui and Hidr, in the case of Hanukkah, he talks about. He says, for example, we generally have an attitude, so Shaila, whether this is true, Bizman is that, but historically there's an attitude that oil is more Mahudr than candles. Nowadays, it's a Shaila, but let's assume for a second that's true. So the Shvus Yaakov says, let's say you've already set up your wax candles in your menorah, ready to light them, and all of a sudden somebody shows up with oil. So he assumes that now to dismantle your wax candles would be a bizui mitzvah, but it's the shame hidr mitzvah. So he said, you have a clash between bizui and hidr, so what wins? So he assumes that the concern to bizui is greater, similar to this whole notion that that's the first step. First, do no harm. Then we can talk about hidr. So it's a push aside the existing candles would be an act of bizui. And the Chacham Tzvi thought not. The Chacham Tzvi thought that the hidr mitzvah that's potential here is better. And the Shvus Yaakov responds, and the Chelek Beis is not sure back and forth. So this is an interesting machlokas, which I think could illustrate. On the one hand, it could be about whether or not you see these all on a continuum. Do you see this all as being one story, which perhaps that's where the Shvus Yaakov is coming from. So first go to step A before you go to step B, as opposed to seeing them as two conflicting things, which theoretically one could outweigh the other. Or you could say that maybe the Chacham Tzvi agrees that it's all kind of one continuum, but that still you'll overtake it by going for the hiddur, so it's worth it. Shmuel, you wanted to comment on that?
Because the Shvus Yaakov just covered anything like the fact that Hanukkah, there's like a different level of Hidr Mitzvah that we spoke about, and that, you know, really, it's not as though we don't do Hidr Mitzvah. Maybe the hidr has a stronger.
Right, so that's an interesting question also, you know, about the emphasis of hidr on Hanukkah, maybe is maybe strengthening both points. You know, if you say that bizui and hidr are two flip sides of the same coin, so maybe it means they're both chamer. Right, according to the Nos Imperial's logic, they should both have a severity. Right, I think you're referring to the point that mahadrin of extra candles, so that we see as one type of hidr, and having Shemin Zayas is a different kind of hidr. But they all connect to the fact that Hanukkah seems to be Hidr central. So but maybe that means it's non-Bizui central also. So it's an interesting question to consider. So this is also could be illustrated by the following fact, that the Rishonim in general discuss how the whole question of Hishtamshus La'ura goes along with the possibility of Bizoy Mitzvah here. And the Sefer HaShlama is one of the Rishonim, so he suggests over here that there's a difference between the Kisrei Hadam with the foot and Hishdam Shus La'ura, that Kisrei Hadam with the foot would be worse. Why? Because there, the mitzvah itself is being done in a disrespectful manner. The mitzvah is the kisui is being done with your foot, so that itself is a disrespectful act. While when it comes to this usage of the candle after it's been lit, all right, there at least you fulfilled the mitzvah. So then to come back afterwards and do something somewhat disrespectful, maybe that's not as bad as the kisui hadam example. Now, I think there's a couple of interesting things to note from that. First of all, it does highlight that this concept of Bizoy Mitzvah, again, is not one idea. There's all kinds of different considerations. So doing a mitzvah, B'derech Bizoyon, might be a certain form of Bizoy Mitzvah that might be a more severe form. While in order to say that something like using candles that are already lit is a Bizoy Mitzvah, maybe that requires more of a Chiddush. That's not so obvious. There's different gradations in terms of what's considered. So to do a mitzvah in a way that's casual, that's respectful, that's more self-evident or more of a severe isser. While there could be other things that might be the broader heading of Bizoy Mitzvah, but don't necessarily come across as blatantly. There's a sefer called Yomin Daraisa, I forgot what it's called actually. Sefer of Yochanan Sofer has a sefer on Hilchos Hanukkah. Yom de Hanukkah, maybe? Call something, has a title. And so he talks about if the Hashlama Svara still works if you say Kavsa Lo Zakakwa. Right? If you say Kavsa Lo Zakakwa, okay, so the mitzvah was done when you lit it. But what if you say Kavsa Zakakwa? You have to take care of it if it goes out. So then it sounds like the mitzvah is still going on. So then this whole logic of saying that the mitzvah was done disrespectfully should apply to this also, because the mitzvah is still happening. So it's not exactly parallel, because even so it would mean during the time of the mitzvah, but not that the mitzvah is being done in a disrespectful way. It would still be different than the Kisui Hadam point. But he goes into there about a whole discussion similar to what we discussed yesterday, that even the position of Kavsa Zakakla, you could say that Eishav Mishum Chitzav, like we discussed yesterday, so therefore the mitzvah action that you did still happened in the initial moment. It still happens when you lit it. And therefore, again, this is going to be different than what the Hashlama discusses. The act of the mitzvah is still done without any bizayin, and the bizayin may happen during the performance of the mitzvah, but it's still not the same as the Kisui Hadam situation. Everyone following all that? More or less, makes sense. So he then goes on to say, yeah. Just a cute point. He then goes on to say, back to this issue that has always fascinated everyone comes back to it. In our opening sugya, why it was that Rabbi Yirmiyah's position wasn't accepted, and then they said in the name of Yochanan it was accepted. Remember that first sugya, that the way we pass in today, that Kavsa Lo Zakukla and also Lashamish La'ura, so Abaye did not accept that from Rav Yirmiyah and did accept that from Rav Yochanan. So in the same essay, so Rav Yochanan so far suggests, says that the reason Abaye didn't want to accept it, it wasn't because it was Rav Yirmiyah, it's because it's a steer. Those two positions are a contradiction to each other. Because also Lashamish La'ura means that there's a mitzvah that's going on the whole time. And Kavsa Lo Zakukla sounds like the mitzvah is only in the first second. So they shouldn't both be true. Should be one or the other. So he didn't want to accept that opinion. Until Rabbi Yochanan was the author of the opinion. Because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who maintains Eishav Mishum Chitzav. So then it's possible to say both. It's possible to say that Asur L'Shtam Eish La'ura, because the mitzvah is really going on the whole time. But Kavsa Lo Zakakla, because it was all performed in that initial moment of lighting, because Eishav Mishum Chitzav. That's the view of Rabbi Yochanan. So once Rabbi Yochanan became associated with these two positions, it was possible to reconcile them. Okay? Make sense? Okay, so we'll just spend a few minutes on the sugya of Madlikim and Ner L'Ner. Yeah?
So, the case in the Gemara of the coins, using the coins of Hekdesh, is that an issue of Me'ilah, or is it...
It sounds like it's an issue of Bizu HaMitzvah. So let's introduce that topic. So, we'll have the Davin in a few minutes, so we'll just start talking about Madlikim and Ner L'Ner, and then we'll continue that tomorrow together with the Havako Mitzvah, and we'll discuss all that. We'll finish it off tomorrow. But basically, so our Gemara goes on to raise the issue of Madlikim and Ner L'Ner, that can you take one candle and light from another candle? So it's a very complicated back and forth in the Gemara, so we'll just try to familiarize ourselves with it. That basically it's Machlokas Rav Shmuel. And that according to Shmuel, you can light from one candle to the other, and according to Rav, you cannot. But what gets complicated is that there's a Machlokas, why does Rav say no? And that affects Shmuel's position also, because it affects the question of what is Shmuel arguing on. So what are the two possibilities for Rav's position? So one possibility is that it's a concern of Bizui Mitzvah, that basically to take one candle and use it as a tool for something else sounds like it's a Bizuyin of that mitzvah. And the other concern is Achushe Mitzvah, that you are somehow contradicting or reducing the power of the mitzvah. It's an interesting question how exactly we translate that. You find this also, by the way, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Torah calls sorcery kishuf, right? And the Gemara says that why, what does the word kishuf mean? It says semachishin famalia shomala, that it has some type of impact, like a chushe, to God's influence in this world, so to speak. So there as well, there's a shayla how to read that Gemara. Does it mean that it reduces it, so to speak, the riachal, because people don't relate to God as the one power in the world, or that it contradicts it? It's a way of saying that there are other forces in the world. So it's a little bit of an open question how exactly to translate that. So here also, okay, somehow this takes away from the flame that's there to use it to light another flame. So that's a shayla. The Gemara says in Nafkamina would be that if you're using a chip, if you're using a kisei, a kinsa, to move from one light to the other, so that's an issue of Bizui Mitzvah, because it looks like you're lighting a secular candle with your Hanukkah candle, while if you're lighting directly from one candle to the next, that would not be a problem, because it's clear it's being done L'Shem Mitzvah. As opposed to the concern of Achushe Mitzvah, that would seem to apply no matter what. It would seem to be that you're weakening the first flame, and that should be a concern in both issues. So if I remember correctly, several years ago, so we should try to be even-handed here, so we quoted Jonathan Sachs yesterday and today, so we should also quote Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, who's joining the faculty of YU, as we've all heard. So I remember a few years ago, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs came Hanukkah time and spoke in the Schottenstein-based Medrash, and he spoke about this Gemara. And if I remember correctly, I may be getting it wrong, so you can ask him when he comes here what the Pshat was exactly. But if I remember him correctly, so he understood, homiletically, that the question is, this concern about the flame, and the idea that you may weaken the flame when you take from one flame and give to the other, says, what exactly are we more interested in? He says, some people are very interested in power. And we, the Jewish people, he says, has classically been more interested in influence rather than power. And then he thought, homiletically, that was the machlokas, that if there's a slight concern, you'll give your flame to someone else, your flame will be weakened a little bit. So from a power perspective, you don't want that. But from an influence perspective, that's the best. So even if your flame becomes a little bit weaker, but the flame gets passed on to someone else, so that's the whole ideal. So since we paskin that we're not worried about Achushe Mitzvah, so he used that homiletically to say that this is the message of the Jewish people, that it's not that we're about power or about influence, and that's reflected in this concern about whether or not Achushe Mitzvah is an issue or not. Okay, at any event, so what gets a little bit confusing, and we'll try to sort this out tomorrow, is that if we paskin that the concern is Bizui Mitzvah, which is what it sounds like, right? That we don't worry about Achushe Mitzvah. So then it comes out that even Rav, would have allowed Madlikin Miner Lener directly. And he only was concerned about using a kitsa, using some type of intermediary. Correct? Right? Because that's not a Bizoy Mitzvah concern. So the problem is, if we paskin like Shmuel, so what does that mean? It means then that you can light from one candle to the other, and you can use a kinsa, because that was what, because even Rav would have allowed Madlikin Miner Lener without the kinsa. So the Rambam is the big problem, as if you sort of got a chance to see, it was on the Mar Makomos, that the Rambam says you can be Madlik Miner Lener, but you can't use a kinsa. So how exactly does that work? And the Ravid objects. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? You can use a kinsa, presumably because he reads the Gemara that way, that that was Rav's position, that you can't do it with this kinsa. And Shmuel, who we paskin like, must therefore say that you can do it miner l'ner with a kinsa. So we'll have to try to get some perspectives on that, and again, we'll try to do that all together with Halakha Osa Mitzvah and finishing everything up tomorrow, and Jonathan will let us know tomorrow, I guess. Hopefully, we're confident, we're optimistic that we'll be on for our Chanukah Mesiva here on Thursday. Okay, one